anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling, alongside with Joe Blewett. And man, oh man, do we have a good show for you tonight as things have finally picked up. There is a man in tower, and his name is Mike Maccagnan. The New York Jets have officially pulled the trigger on the Houston Texans director of scouting for what it looks like to be over a decade. And the New York Jets now have a new general manager and look like soon to be a new head coach. As Rex Ryan has shuffled on up to Buffalo. We'll get to that later on in the show. I cannot wait to dive in on that topic. What an interesting turn of events. You know, if you're a Jets fan over the past couple weeks, I mean, amazing to think what has happened since the season ended. If you want to change, oh boy, did you get it. So Mike Maccagnan announced as the new Jets general manager. Next up, I mean, here's what we're hearing. Todd Bowles is meeting with the Jets tonight. Who knows? They could be going to some steakhouse in Morristown like they lured Eric Decker in. And, you know, the reports are that he's still to meet with Atlanta on tomorrow, on Wednesday. But the Jets, if the Jets are impressed by him so much, the new general manager meeting with him tonight could offer him a contract as soon as tonight. So that's that's up there because the Jets are in a position where they, might not want to let him leave. They might want to get a deal done with him, not let him leave the facilities without being the next head coach. That's in the cards. So, I mean, there's so much going on right now. The first hot topic is, listen, I'm not going to come on the air tonight, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, we have the next Bill Polian as our general manager. I don't think anybody out there can say a good or bad thing about Mike Maccagnan. I don't think you can sit here and say, wow, this guy is going to turn our franchise around. Wow, this guy is going to be our new leader. And I don't think you can say that he's not a good candidate or is not, going to be a good GM. You don't know. You just go off of the background. You go off of the things that he's done in his career. And, you trust the football moves made by, the guys around Woody Johnson. So without further ado, Joe, we got a new man in charge. What do you think?
I definitely like the move, Brandon. It's definitely a complete 360 from the last two GMs we had with Tana, the contract salary cap kind of guy. So it's definitely a complete 360 from them. So I'm excited about that. And I honestly thought it was pretty funny that people weren't too sure if he was going to be, finally signed by the Jets because his agent was here today. He's been in New York since I believe it was Friday. So it was pretty set in stone since about, Saturday or Sunday that he was going to be the GM of the Jets. And, I definitely like it. Like you said, I'm not completely sure, if he's going to be Bill Polian or if he's going to be one of these guys because it's really hard to tell, especially with the GM because, at first people were saying that Izzik could be good and then look how that turned out. But, he was involved with drafting 12 pro ballers. He got three starting offensive linemen in rounds 3, 4, and 7. So he's definitely, really solid in the personnel background type. So I'm excited for it. He was 6 seasons with in Washington with Cashley. He's been in Houston for 14 years, and it's all been, involved with either college scouting or pro personnel or things like that. So it's nice. I'm ready for him to just get to work and hopefully extend Wilkerson. Hopefully in 5 minutes.
Now, do you think that Maccagnan is going to go? Because there's a Mike, Mike Tannenbaum, I think, when he was with the Jets, didn't get enough credit because he did have some bad drafts, but he also had some good drafts here. Whether you want to think you want to give credit to Eric Mangini, you want to give credit to Mike Tannenbaum, he had some good drafts here. And one thing that I like about Maccagnan is that he's got that scout background. This is a guy who knows every college football player from Division I to Division III in terms of, you know, what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are, you know, who's good and who's not, who's a top pick. And I think, you know, do you see him being a GM that's going to build more around the draft rather than a guy like Mike Tannenbaum, who would say, let's go make the flashy trade or let's go throw money at in people's faces to get him to sign here? Do you think that the Jets are going to be, you know, with all this money that they have, they better go out and they better spend some money. But do you think this type of GM is going to say, hold on a second, before we go, you know, spending millions and millions, let me get a good draft under my belt before I blow my cap room?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. And the things I heard so far, you know, we've only this news only broke about an hour ago, so we don't have all the information as of right now. But the thing I heard with him is that he made sure with Woody that he wasn't completely locked in with the guys of the scouting department. So for the Jets fans who hate a guy like Terry Bradway, you know, he might be gone because McMahon he's really going to be involved with the scouting and who they pick and all of those things. And the Jets actually were calling people before, and they basically lined up, you know, who whether the coach or what the coach and what the GM would finally, like what their final say would be. They said the GM has final say on the 53-man roster, who they draft on draft day and who they cut during the season. The head coach decides who plays and how much, who starts. And then the GM and the head coach both report to Woody individually, which I find very interesting that, you know, instead of reporting to the owner together, they're reporting individually. So Woody's going to be a lot more involved in this. And the thing about McCagnan is, you know,
which is scary. I think it's really kind of scary. I think that is the biggest mistake out of everything that they've done right this offseason. The fact that they're reporting that Woody Johnson, the coach, is not to report to the GM. You're missing the boat there, because the GM, you know, this is going to be one of those type of situations where the GM is going to handpick his guy. He's going to handpick Bowles, Quinn, or, you know, a sleeper that we, you know, might not see coming. You know, they should everybody underneath the GM should be reporting to the GM, and the GM should be reporting to Woody Johnson. Do not make the coach of the New York Jets feel like he is over the GM. That's the biggest mistake. Let's go to Glenn, though. Glenn wants to talk about coaching candidates. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, guys. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing good, man. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Obviously an exciting night for Jets fans. You know, we get the GM named, and we discussed it a couple of weeks ago. At this point, nobody knows anything about, you know, what kind of job the guy's going to do. But what we do know is we've got a guy with a personnel background, and it's been a long time. So whether he's a hit or miss, time will tell. But at least right out of the gate, we know this guy has years of experience between, you know, Canada and the Texans, and he was did the World League or whatever for a little while. So a lot of years and a lot of places evaluating a lot of people. Obviously, you know, Casserly brought him on board some time ago. So Casserly, everyone's been raving for weeks now that Woody brought him on board. He's no slouch, and he saw something in this guy many years ago that he liked. So that's all really good news. Comment on what you were just saying. I did see on JetNation.com the structure and the way things are going to be run. And I'm a little bit torn, because that was my first instinct. My first instinct was, oh, you know, Woody really, up until this point, he's never really tried to be, or he's never tried to portray himself as, a football guru or aficionado. He's kind of let his football people make the football decisions. But I think what this does, I think this decision kind of confirms what a lot of people thought went on last year. And I think you had John Idzik dictating who Rex Ryan would play, and he wants to avoid that type of situation again. You know, whether or not it's a good move or it backfires, you know, we'll find out eventually. But it is definitely an unorthodox power structure, and there has to have been something that drove that decision, because it isn't something you expected to hear. And that was that the only thing I could do, putting two and two together, was to kind of think maybe there was enough friction and enough disagreement last year that the head coach wasn't getting to play who he wanted to play, and obviously Woody's trying to avoid that. But in terms of the candidates, we all know that they've had Bowles in today for several hours. He may still be there for all we know. And this makes me wonder, because there were so many reports out there that Quinn was the guy. As you saw on Jet Nation as well, there were reporters that we were able to get in touch with that confirmed Quinn was their top choice. And so publicly and behind closed doors, people were saying that Jets officials were confirming that he was their guy. And I really wonder if the Jets are worried about getting left holding the bag, if they're saying, listen, because Bowles was scheduled to meet with Atlanta, I believe tomorrow or the next day, the Jets may look at it and said, if Bowles goes to Atlanta and we can't get Quinn to, of course, nothing can happen officially, but none of us are idiots. We know that there's nothing stopping them from saying to Dan Quinn, you know, get a wink-wink deal to say, you know, when the time comes, are you coming to us? And if they couldn't get a commitment from him, they've got to make a move. So even if Quinn was their top choice, I don't mind if they go with their number two choice, because honestly, if they don't, then they're looking at their third or fourth choice. So you got to have faith in the structure. You got to have faith in Casserly and Wolf. If they're sitting down in a room, they're doing these interviews. You know, as we've seen, these interviews are lasting several hours apiece. You have tons of football knowledge in that room with Woody advising him.
Right.
And I like the fact that it appears, and again, this is purely guessing on my part, but it appears mm-hmm. that he's saying, look, we could get left with nobody, or we can get our number two. Some people speculating maybe Bowles was the number one all along. If that's the case, I don't know why he would have been the second guy to get multiple interviews. But, again,
right.
pure speculation. But I do like that they're doing something now, and I do like that, you know, historically looking at Woody's hires, it's been a lot of inexperienced guys. It's been a lot of guys who have never even held a coordinator title. It's been guys
right.
who were put in that position too early. You know, we saw Al Groh get elevated on the advice of Bill Parcells. We saw Herm Edwards get hired as a defensive backs coach who'd never been a coordinator. Mangini had 1 year as a coordinator and probably at age 35 wasn't quite ready yet. So we've seen a lot of mistakes, a lot of giving opportunities to first-time guys, which isn't that big of a deal, but it becomes a big deal when you're hiring first-timers who have never had anywhere close to that responsibility. So I like the idea of going after Bowles. Him or Quinn, I'd be happy. So just like to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I want to touch on the first thing that you said. And the first thing that we talked about was, you know, John Idzik deciding, you know, who's getting put out on the field and things along those lines. I think that you make some good points with that, and I agree with you, because I think that the issue that I have is you can't bring a coach in here and think that he's on the same level playing field as a general manager. It doesn't work that way. All these good, unless you're going to go bring in a Mike Shanahan or maybe even a John Fox, or you're going to go bring in a proven coach who is going to say, hey, you know what Bill Parcells used to say, you know, if you want me to cook the dinner, at least let me go out and buy the groceries. You know, that's the type of coach that's going to have power over the GM. If I'm going to a coordinator who's never been a head coach in his entire life, I'm not going to say, hey, how you doing? This is your general manager. Oh, you don't report to him. You report to me. I'm the owner. I think that's silly, because the NFL hierarchy is set up for a reason. It goes to head coach. It goes to your coordinators, your head coach, your GM, and your owner. That's the way that it has to be set up. You can't have these. You can't go to a Dan Quinn or a Todd Bowles and say, "Well, you report to me," because then if there's an issue and the GM tries to, you know, do something with the head coach is going to say, "Well, guess what? I don't have to listen to you. You're not my boss. Woody Johnson's my boss." And it becomes kind of a power thing. And I think that's mm-hmm. where the disconnect was between Rex Ryan and John Idzik. Because if John Idzik would tell Rex Ryan to do something, Rex Ryan would probably say, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll take it into consideration. And probably laugh about it. Because he would say to himself, I don't have to listen to this guy. He's not my boss. He doesn't sign my paychecks. I think they have to get that out of the – you have to get rid of that. Because Todd Bowles and Dan Quinn, they're great. And listen – They're you know, the top coordinators. I'm really nervous about Dan Quinn, because I think that you're looking at a coordinator who's coaching the best defense in the league out there, and it's not, see, you know, if you're coming in with this type of personnel, you know, Rex Ryan made this defense look great with a lot of nothing. Is Dan Quinn going to be able to make this defense look great with a lot of nothing? He's been able to make Seattle look great. Again, I think me, Joe, and you, Glenn, could go coach the defense in Seattle and make it look great. I mean, I'm worried about that. Go ahead.
And that is a great point, because I've actually said on a couple of occasions in talking about the current situation with some of my friends who are Jets fans, and they're saying, oh, you know, Dan Quinn, he just lets his guys play. He doesn't have to do all this crazy exotic stuff. He's got the right approach. I say, listen, that's because he's got all pros all over the place.
Yeah, you know, I would let them play too.
Of course, you don't have to get creative and exotic and crazy when you've got all pros all over the field. You can just say, you guys go ahead and go out there and do your thing. It, you know, everybody's man up on the guy in front of you and beat him. And they can do that. When you don't have the talent, if he comes to, if Rex Ryan had that type, if any coach, Rex, anybody, you know, Rex is gone, time to move on, I get it. But if he came in here, if Dan Quinn were to get the job and came in here and said, all right, you know, Darren Walls, go ahead and do your thing, how is that going to work out? You've got to get creative. When you don't have the talent, you've got to make up for it.
Right.
And I agree. That's my number one concern, is this a great coach or is this a coach with great players?
Right. And the other thing that you were talking about with Bowles is, and you make a good point. Again, you make a good point with, you know, I heard about it a lot on The Fan. They were talking about, well, what if Dan Quinn could not be off the market for another 3 weeks is what people are talking
about.
That's when the Super Bowl will be over. So, but I just don't think that it's a good idea. If they're sitting in the room and you have Woody Johnson, Maccagnan, you know, Cashley, if they're all sitting in the room and say, guess what? Dan Quinn is the guy that we think can lead this franchise. We think he's our next coach. You know, make it happen. I don't want to see the Jets settle for a head coach because they feel like they're up against Father Time with the next 3 weeks. I think that could be a mistake. Now, I look at a guy like Bowles and I say, you know, look at the amount of injuries that the Cardinals had this year. Look at the games they won with that defense, with the quarterback situation. I think that Todd Bowles could come in here and kind of have that similar approach to a guy, you know, like Rex, who, you know, you have to win with your defense because your quarterback situation is so poor. So I think that Todd Bowles knows a little bit of that. I like the Bruce Arians background, but I'm just one of these. I'm just, as me personally, my opinion, I think the Jets need to try. I mean, I really look at a guy now. I know we've been hearing about that there's no way it's going to happen. A guy like John Fox, where they need somebody who's a proven head coach that can come in here and clean this up because they just don't have the time. I mean, if you're going to take a hotshot coordinator and say hope for the best, maybe he'll be a great head coach, that's fine. You take your chance. But I'm looking at it from the point of view where I want a proven head coach that can come in here and say, this is how we're going to do things. This is how I did things in this particular place. We're going to do it my way. And I think that that's what they need in order to fix this team. And I just don't know if Bowles or Quinn is the guy that can do that. Can they be great head coaches? Absolutely. You can't say that they can't because they're great coordinators and you have no idea because they've never done it before. So I don't know if going that direction is the right way. It looks like it's going to happen. It's going to be Quinn or Bowles. But I mean, you just have to say time will tell with those two guys.
Yeah, and I don't, again, those are all great points. I don't disagree at all with the John Fox thing. When it was announced that he split with Denver, my thought process was, you know, kick the tires, bring him in. You know, I'm not like 100% gung-ho, but I do, the point you made, I love the idea of bringing in a guy where there's no learning curve. He's done it long enough that he can walk in from day one and he knows what it takes to be a coach in this league, and he knows what it takes to win in this league. Granted, he had Manning, but he also got through the Super Bowl with Jake Delhomme, so he has done some good things. So based on that alone, I think it's worth doing the interview. Of course, reports that he turned down the interview opportunities, then conflicting reports that it was never offered. That's neither here nor there. It's just it's a great point on your part that get rid of that learning curve. Bring in a guy who knows how to do it. As far as the Bowles thing, I see what you're saying because I feel that way too. That was my thought, was if Quinn is your guy, get him. But again, because I have no doubt that there is some back channel stuff and they're looking elsewhere, I get the impression that his, you know, despite report, you know, I've seen a few articles saying that, you know, Quinn's a New Jersey guy, the Jets are his top choice. If that was the case, he could get that message to the Jets either directly or indirectly, and they would have no reason to keep looking, or at least not to keep looking this intensely as they are with Bowles at the moment. So it's not as if they're giving up on Quinn and hiring.
Glenn, I got one question for you, though. Sorry to cut you off.
Sure.
I got one question for you. If you look at – we're all sitting here talking about Quinn and Bowles. Do you see I just don't see it. But do you see any third guy that could come in here for another interview, or a new guy that could come in here for an interview now that the GM is in place? Do you think that the GM might want to have another couple interviews with maybe a different guy or two? Do you see that there's any guy that could come in here and wow them and take the job away from Bowles or Quinn?
Well, you know what? I had that thought earlier, and you know, even though reports say he's not interested, my thought process was, and again, I have no idea what the relationship was, but they're bringing a GM in now from Houston where Gary Kubiak was for years. So clearly he's got a relationship with Kubiak. Well, I would expect, of course, I don't know, but I would expect they were both there long enough that they worked together for a while. And I kind of wondered, does this guy, you know, maybe he has a good enough relationship that he can call Kubiak and say, hey, man, is there any way you'd reconsider to come here and work with me? We've worked together before. And maybe try to pry him away from Baltimore. Again, the reports coming out of Baltimore that Kubiak is happy where he is, and that may be the case. But to be honest, health concerns aside, with the mini stroke or whatever it was he had a few years ago, Kubiak would have been my top choice because, again, no learning curve. Had some good teams, had some bad teams. Obviously, they were expansion, so they struggled for a long time. Second to last year there, I think he went 12-4. So he has had some success in the league.
Do you think Doug Marrone is out? Do you think Doug Marrone is not even because he interviewed and you know once he was out of Buffalo, you know the reports were that it was almost a done deal as soon as he opted out of that contract. You would almost think that he was coming to the Jets. He opted out because he's a Bronx guy. He coached with the Jets before. Do you know his name has just kind of gone away on every coaching job.
Do you think there's any way
to bring him back in?
With Marrone, I think if you do the math on that, there was the report, of course, that came out a little bit before Rex was fired, you know, that the reason he started clearing out his office is because his agent, Jimmy Sexton, was contacted by the Jets to ask about one of his potential clients who may have very well been Doug Marrone. And, yeah, the fact that Marrone opted out, because I don't know, it wasn't big news because it's, you know, the Bills weren't a playoff team and not a big name, but I don't know how many people remember. But literally the day after the season ended, I heard these reports that Marrone had the opt-out clause. And the next day, the reports I heard said, Marrone's happy in Buffalo. He's not going anywhere. And then 24 hours later, he opts out, having the same agent as Rex, knowing Rex is on the way out. He's worked with the Jets. He's from the Bronx. Woody publicly says, oh, this is great news. Doug Marrone's available. And then he comes down in interviews. And some reports said it went great, but if it went so great, they literally the next day the Jets said, all right, Doug, go ahead and talk to Atlanta. And we haven't heard his name since for Atlanta or the Jets. So unless this is the most elaborate, unnecessary smokescreen I've ever seen, the guy
That's
is,
what I was thinking.
He was
just
in
went
and
away.
And,
He's just
yeah,
gone. It, like, you haven't heard anything. You haven't heard one report, no interviews, nothing. It's like
nothing.
McTagman just call him in and just say, and could Doug Marrone wow the GM and this GM go to Woody and say, you know what, Bowles, Quinn, I get him, good coordinators. This guy is the guy I want to lead my team. You know, could that happen? Or even I know they interviewed the defense coordinator out in Carolina. I mean, could any of these guys just come in and be like, and we're going to sit here and say, wow, you know, we did not see this coming because everybody thinks Bowles and Quinn. But, you know, could a Marrone or could a Kubiak or could another candidate, you know, just come in here and just take the job away from them?
I think, you know, of course anything's possible, but I think that if that does happen, whoever it is going to have to really blow them away because, you know, whether people admit it or not, public perception, fan perception is huge. And right now, the only names on anybody's minds are Quinn and Bowles. And if they hire someone today or tomorrow who isn't one of those guys, fans might be willing to live with it. If they wait it out and Quinn and Bowles are gone and they get someone else, you're not going to convince a single fan that wasn't their third or fourth choice and that they got left, you know, that they didn't act quickly enough and they got left out in the cold. Whether it's true or not won't matter. It's if they're going to hire somebody that isn't Quinn or Bowles for just to keep the fans willing to give it a shot and not lose their minds, I think that signing has to be made before those guys are gone. Because if it happens after they're gone, everyone's going to just say, same old Jets, they couldn't close the deal, the top candidates on the market have gone elsewhere, now we're stuck with so-and-so. Even Marrone at this point, he's been so invisible that he kind of falls into that category. He went from a favorite to completely out of the discussion. Even if you'd hear his name every couple days, fans might say, okay, well, they're keeping him on the back burner. They still like him. At this point, he's out of everybody's minds. I saw something the other day that said how foolish they would look if they had to go to Marone at this point, because clearly he didn't impress. You're looking for a head coach. This guy quits his job where he we said it a couple weeks ago. There's only 32 of these jobs. He had one of them. And whether Buffalo gave him an extension or not, he was still a head coach in the NFL and walked away from it the day after Rex Ryan was fired, walked into an interview, and hasn't been heard from since. You know, these guys, they want to coach. The only opening I've heard about with Doug Marone is there's a possibility he may get a consultant role in Houston because he has a good relationship with O'Brien out there. So he has fallen off the, as far as any reporting that's going on in the sports world, he's fallen off the map. I haven't seen his name mentioned anywhere other than, again, a consultant role in Houston. So, again, looking at the fact they've been with Bowles all day and they named the GM today, it could be due diligence. It could be the Jets saying, we want to make sure we've gone, through everybody. But for interview number two to run this long on the day of the GM, a lot of speculation that Bowles will be the guy. Again, not heartbroken about it because of the fact that Bowles is a top candidate. I would worry, of course, if they were waiting on Quinn and they ended up settling for, somebody else's offensive line coach, which wouldn't be a first-time thing for them. But, exciting time, guys.
I just wonder about Dan Quinn being, Dan Quinn being interviewed and, Dan Quinn being the guy and having a GM now that was not involved in that interviewing process of him. That's something to look out for as well. But, Glenn, we definitely appreciate the time, and we appreciate all the insight. And keep doing your thing on JetNation.com. It's awesome reads. Keep it up.
Thanks. Great job, guys.
All right, thanks, Glenn. That was Glenn Notton on the from JetNation.com bringing in some heat. I mean, he's got some good background. He really, behind the scenes, Glenn is working with a lot of players now. He's been interviewing a lot of Jets and working with a lot of media guys. I mean, definitely some great insights and points there. Now, Joe, I know that you're still here, by the way, right? Are you awake? Joe, you there?
Yeah, I took a little power nap for a little bit, but yeah, I'm still present. So
I mean, I got so into what he was saying because it's so fascinating to look at this stuff because you have to wonder, Joe, and then I want you to take the floor here. Do you think that it's affected in any way that Quinn that Maccagnan was not involved in the interview process with Quinn, or as far as we know, he wasn't. In that he's their guy, and now all of a sudden that Bowles is here with the GM. Do you think that is to just kind of seal the deal? GM shakes hand with coach. Everybody's happy together, and he signs the dotted line. Or do you think that this is just the Jets going through the interview process with their GM, and they want to wait for Quinn to come in?
It's definitely very interesting with that whole thing. But I really think that it's Woody's going to make the final call, so I don't really think he needs Maccagnan to really decide who it's going to be. And I thought that the whole thing with, the Jets announcing what the GM would do, what the head coach would do, who they would report to was very interesting how they kind of did that. And it was kind of strange to me how that happened. So, and my gut feeling is that they're going to be hiring Bowles within the next, maybe tonight or tomorrow. But no, that's definitely an interesting point. But to get to some of the things that you guys were talking about, I don't know if I could hit on all of them. it was a long conversation, but I'll try. John Fox, I heard that he denied us, and then I heard that that we didn't offer anything to him. So I really don't think that's going to happen. I really think that the Jets are really banking on Quinn or Bowles. The thing with Marone is, at first he really seemed like the hot topic. It seemed like everybody wanted him to be here, or at least in the Jets organization they did. But from what I heard, it was actually Woody Johnson was hearing that a lot of fans weren't completely thrilled with bringing Marone in. So he kind of listened to the fans, and they've been really involved with, looking at social media, looking at what fans are saying, at least Woody has. So I think Marone's really done. I don't think he has any shot with getting another interview. And I wanted to correct Glenn on one thing. It was, he said that Bowles was the second coach to get a second interview. I believe he said that, and it's actually Bowles would actually be the first coach to get a second interview, because the Jets aren't actually allowed to interview Quinn this for the second time until Monday during the if the Seahawks win. because that would be their bye week. So that'd be the only time they would be able to interview Quinn. But to get to your point about Quinn and Bowles, you know, it's very interesting because the whole week you hear that, you know, the Jets are going to fly to Seattle if they lose to the Panthers. They're going to offer him a contract right on the spot. You hear that he is calling, you know, Kyle Shanahan, who it would be a good offensive coordinator, you know, because he obviously looked made RG3 and Hoyer look like pretty decent or pretty solid quarterbacks. So I think that would be a good hire. But, you know, he's supposedly calling all these people to see who would join him in New York. He's saying that Chris Richards, the defensive backs coach for the Seattle Seahawks, would be joining him as a defensive coordinator. But, you know, there's a lot of questions, and I think that's why Bowles is my number one choice because, like you said, the personnel he has on that team is nowhere compared to Bowles. Then you have Pete Carroll, who is a defensive mastermind, so you have to kind of think, is it Pete Carroll's defense or is it more of Quinn's defense, kind of like a New York Jets thing with Rex Ryan and with Dennis Thurman, who is now the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, with Bowles, without all the players, you know, he had a great defense. He was obviously ranked fifth best defense by points allowed. The Jets were ranked 24th. And at the end of the day, Brandon, we know it's mostly about how many points you allow. I don't care how many yards you give up, but he was fifth in points. That's obviously a great defense. The guy lost Carlos Dansby to free agency. He lost Dockett to an ACL tear. And then you had Washington get suspended for the year. You had John Abraham, who is an old Jet, go to our IR, and then you had the Honey Badger, Matthew, you know, he missed a whole bunch of games, and then this guy still had the fifth-ranked overall defense by points. His defense blitzes the most in the NFL. He's very creative. He mixes man and zone, just like Rex Ryan did. I honestly think that Bowles is the better coach to have, and you guys mentioned you don't know if Bowles is here, but Bowles actually right now I'm hearing that he's actually out to eat with McCagnan. He's out to eat with Woody and Wolf and Casserly right now.
At
so
Roots, man. Roots is the spot that the Jets take everybody to go to. They sign them up, man. You go over to Roots, you get yourself a porterhouse, you bring a contract and a pen, you say, let's go.
Yeah, and the scary thing with Bowles too, and the whole Quinn thing, and you guys were saying, you know, you might have to wait for 3 weeks, and you know you want the Jets to wait for their first option. But the thing with that is, you know, Brandon, if we're sitting here 3 weeks from now, and Bowles is gone, and you know, Kubiak said he's happy as an offensive coordinator, doesn't want to be a coach again, so that's basically out the window. Marone is out the window, and it seems like Bowles or Quinn. So what happens if Bowles goes to a team like Seattle, or he goes to a team like the Falcons, who, by the way, are the Jets' number one contender right now, because Bowles is a Bill Parcells disciple, and the Falcons GM Scott Pioli, I think his name is, or how to pronounce it, is a Parcells. He's a Parcells disciple, and he's his son-in-law. So Parcells definitely has some close connections with the Falcons GM. So I'm worried about that. So I'm really hoping that they don't let him out of the building today. But you know, the difference with Bowles is, and Quinn, you know that Bowles ran that defense with the Cardinals, because obviously Bruce Arians is all about the offense. But the thing with Quinn is, you don't know if he's running, you know, completely running the defense, because obviously Carroll is a defensive guru and that's what he's known for. So I think Bowles has a lot less question marks. He had a lot less talent, and he obviously didn't have the number one defense in points allowed, or he wasn't the top defense, but with his defense and having basically no superstars on that team other than Matthew, and obviously Patrick Peterson is amazing. I know that you might think that Cromartie's an all-pro, but he's not. But, you know, he's a great defensive coordinator. He's very creative. And the point I wanted to bring up about him, too, is as I say, you know, he's creative. He runs both a 3-4 and a 4-3 defense, because we were talking about if Coples could be a D-end in the future, so he can mix up looks. And versus the Cowboys this year, they actually predominantly ran a 3-4 defense, the Cardinals, this year. But against the Cowboys, they switched to a 4-3 defense, and then they actually shut down DeMarco Murray and killed his streak of 100 rushing yards a game. So he's really, really my number one choice, and I'm hoping that, you know, within the next 2 minutes that we get a text or we figure out on Twitter that this guy is locked up. So that's my opinion on that.
Well, what I've been hearing, too, is that Todd Bowles wants to actually bring Chan Gailey as his offensive coordinator is something that one of the rumors that I heard on WFAN today, who was the offense coordinator for the Chiefs in 2008 and most recently the head coach of the Buffalo Bills from 2010 to 2012 before he was gone there. So he's been out of football for a couple years now. But I mean, I think that that's an interesting, you know, that's an interesting mix up, but the New York Jets situation is going to be very, very simple. You know, we can sit here, we can talk about a GM, we can talk about bringing in Bowles, we can talk about bringing in Quinn, we can talk about bringing in all these guys. Who is going to be the starting quarterback of the New York Jets week one? That will tell you who. That will tell you the success. I mean, if Todd Bowles is out there with these type of guys, how much different of a Jets team are you going to see? How much, you're going to see a good defense and a poor offense? I mean, how much difference are you, what difference are you going to see? It all comes down to the quarterback. The quarterback is the bread and butter of a football team. Is Todd Bowles going to be the guy to take Jameis Winston at 6? Are you going to draft the quarterback? Is he going to be there? Are you going to trade up for a quarterback? You know, what are you going to, who is going to be leading and commanding this football team on the field next season? That's the big question, you know?
And I wasn't sure. I'm pretty sure, obviously, that you watched the national championship game. And I remember that, you know, in previous shows and throughout the season, I was saying that I'm not sure if the Jets should trade up for either one of Marcus Mariota or Winston. And honestly, after watching that and watching what Marcus Mariota has done in the college football playoffs and what he's done the last couple of weeks, I'm honestly not sure, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of Jets fans are going to hate me for saying this, but I'm not even sure that the Jets should draft a quarterback this year, because I think if a guy like Randy Gregory or a guy like Amari Cooper is there at 6, that we should take them over Mariota, because, Brandon, during that game you had to notice that the kid, he's a one-read offense. I say this every time. He's spread offense. He doesn't take snaps from under center. And how many throws? He was missing throws left and right. He can't fit a throw into a tight pocket. I don't think that either of these guys are worth a top pick. So honestly, unless it's a guy who comes in like a locker, or we can get a guy like Bradford to compete with Geno, I think that we're still going to have a quarterback problem next year. And it's definitely not going to be solved until the 2016 season, because I really, if I was the Jets, obviously I'm not a GM and I'm not a pro in scouting, but I wouldn't take either of these guys, either of the top quarterbacks at number 6 right now.
And you know something too, I mean, how much leeway are these coaches going to have that the Jets are bringing in? I mean, think about it from that point of view too. You're looking at a team that haven't made the playoffs in 4 years now. You're coming off of a 4-12 year. Are you going to be given an opportunity to struggle here? I mean, are you going to be able to? I don't see any coach coming in here like a Rex Ryan and taking a good roster to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row. I see, you know, a rebuilding process in place. And are you going to – is Woody Johnson and this GM going to let a head coach come in and struggle? Are you going to go through another 6-10 season? Are you going to go through another 6-10 or a 7-9 type season? Are you going to be willing to have patience with a Dan Quinn or Todd Bowles? Or is it – well, because these 5-year contracts that get thrown out to these coaches are laughable, because they mean absolutely nothing. I'll put a coach under contract for 10 years and only a certain dollar figure is guaranteed, and it means nothing. So it's like, because you get fired, you know, we've seen coaches on 5-year deals get fired after 2 years. So, I mean, is this job almost set up for failure? Because the fans have no patience. The fans want to see a playoff team next year. The fans want to see somebody come in here and change the dynamic of the team and win right away. The fans don't want to sit through another 4 seasons of not making the playoffs. So is this a head coaching job where Woody Johnson would say, hey, you know, Todd, we want to give you some time. You know, obviously we're not going to expect you to bring a Super Bowl here in your first year. You know, I want you to put your plan into place. Put your personnel, put your scheme into place, and, you know, we'll let things, you know, let the dominoes fall where they may over the next couple of years. Or is it, you know, you're the man for the job, I want to win next year? So that's my question, because are we going to see a head coach come in here for 2 years, go 6-10 and 7-9 and get fired, and then another top candidate comes out in 2 years with the GM? I mean, you don't know. You have no idea. But it's the Jets, so it's very, very different because you're handing over a head coaching job that a team hasn't made the playoffs in 4 years. So you're going to go 6 years without making the playoffs, 7 years without making the playoffs, potentially 8 years without making the playoffs. How long are you going to – how long of a leash are these head coaches going to have that come in here? How long of a leash is the GM going to have? Because Woody Johnson can show that he can be patient if you have success. Rex Ryan got another 4 years of not making the playoffs here. He shows patience, but the fact that we're coming off four losing seasons in a row or four seasons not making the playoffs, is the head coach of the Jets, you know, is it going to be 2 years, you better make the playoffs in your first 2 years or we're going to have to look elsewhere? That's a definitely interesting thing to look at.
Oh, yeah, no, it's obviously interesting to look at and interesting to think about, but I really don't think that after all this and with Woody talking to Casserly and Wolf and all these people, I don't think that he is going to be that ignorant to be like, okay, well, if you don't make the playoffs in your second year, then you're out and we have to restart all over again.
But you said it yourself, Woody Johnson has been very involved with the fans and what the fans want to see. Guess what? Two more 6-10 seasons. Woody Johnson's pockets are going to get lighter. The fans are not going to be showing up on game day. The fans are not going to be into Jets football. You want to bash Rex Ryan, and, you know, we can talk bad about Rex, and we'll still get to him going to Buffalo because I want to touch on that.
I know you do.
But, you know, he gave excitement and got fans into Jets football. That's what he did to this franchise. He put a name to this franchise that got everybody excited. If a head coach doesn't get you excited and, you know, we're going to bring somebody in here, you know, who's not going to show us results, maybe not right off the bat, obviously, but how much patience is Woody Johnson going to have? That's the biggest question. Is he going to do it right? Are you going to ever give, you know, a head coach is usually not successful until his second or third year. These guys who come in, they don't rock and roll a 12-4 season right off the bat, especially first time head coaches like Bowles or Quinn. So, I don't know if this head coach is coming into it with an open mind like, well, you know, I'm going to New York. The expectations are sky high. It's win now or go home, because the New York Jets type of attitude can sometimes be a negative because the fans are so, you know, the fans are so hungry for a winner that it can almost provide, you know, a lot of, you know, people don't have patience in the front office because it's not resulting in fans going to games, being into the team, and back pages. Rex Ryan still brought a lot of press in here. A quiet coach who loses is not going to bring press in here.
Yeah, but I think that the smart fans who are out there and they see, you know, if a guy like McKagan is if he wants to rebuild the roster, if you see him, you know, come out in the next couple months, he doesn't re-sign Harris, he gets rid of Pace, he maybe trades Quentin Coples, he gets rid of DeJuan Landry, Chris Johnson's gone, Percy Harvin's gone, you see him try to rebuild this roster with new, fresh, young talent, because I think Woody looks at his resume, which I actually have in front of me. You know, he was in the World League from 1990 to 91 as a scout and director of pro personnel. He was in the CFL in 1994 as a director of pro personnel. He was with the Redskins from 94 to 2000 as a college and pro scout, and then obviously with the Texans, basically on the college scouting level. And then after they hire him, Woody comes out and he says that McKagan, he stood out, his attention to detail, his strong personnel background, and great approach to evaluating players is excellent. And then you have guys like Ron Wolf, and you have guys like Casserly who are basically gushing about how much they like a guy like McKagan. I think that Woody has to have faith in this guy and can't just give him a year or two
I'm talking about the head coach. I think McKagan's going to be here definitely for a long time. I think he's going to get at least a good 4 or 5 years to put a plan into place here. But I'm talking head coaching wise, you know, the Jets, you know, if you're a head coach of this team, how long are you going to get to provide a winning season and get to the playoffs? Is Woody Johnson comfortable with having a head coach in here, you know, that will take a solid 2 or 3 seasons to turn this team around and get to the playoffs? I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to touch on Rex Ryan going to Buffalo, and I want to pick the games for championship weekend. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Anybody can be beat!
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. All right, before we go into our picks of the week, I definitely wanted to touch on the fact that Rex Ryan is the new head coach of Buffalo Bills. Yes, I had to kind of clean up the throw up as I said that because it just absolutely disgusts me. It's amazing to me to see the turn of events that have happened at the end of the Jets year. I was one to believe that they never should have got rid of him. Still want to believe that. I'm still looking at Dan Quinn and Todd Bowles, and I'm saying to myself, well, if you're bringing in defensive guys, why not just keep the best defensive coach that was out there? And I'll still keep that opinion until Rex Ryan goes 2-14 in Buffalo. I think that it's very interesting to see that he didn't go to the Atlanta Falcons with a proven coach. A proven quarterback and a proven wide receiver group there, and a defense that could use some work. But I think I really disagree with everybody making the point of he went too quick to make a decision. He should have waited for the Falcon job. Let's look at it this way. Rex Ryan is never going to back down from a challenge. He got an opportunity to stick it to the Jets twice a year. He loves playing Bill Belichick and the Patriots twice a year. So not only does he get to play the Jets twice a year and try and beat them and get the last laugh every year, and he also gets to play Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and keep trying to beat them. He took an opportunity that they made him feel wanted. They offered him $27.5 million over 5 years. He made a great decision for himself. He made a great decision for him, getting a head coaching job right off the bat when everybody said there's no way he was going to get one. I think it's ridiculous to say that, he made this decision too irrationally. He made a decision based off the fact the organization wanted him and was, recruiting him and calling him and showed him that they wanted him to be the guy there. I think that he went through the process with Atlanta 6 years ago, and they were doing the same thing to him. So I think it's as a Jet fan, it disgusts me. The fact that I'm going to see him on the sideline twice a year against the Jets is disgusting to me as well. I almost say you as a fan, as a Jet fan that you know respects and loves the guy, you want to wish him luck. But then again, you're talking about a guy that's in your division, so you don't even know how to feel. It's like one of those bad girlfriends that you break up with nicely, and it's like, you know, you all of a sudden you're friends with her for 2 weeks and you kind of just stop talking, and you didn't have a bad breakup, but then all of a sudden you find out she's dating your best friend or something like that. So it's like it's really kind of makes you feel sick inside. So, I mean, it's something that Rex Ryan is going to be able to really say to the Jets twice a year, you know, thanks a lot, and you know, this could have, you know, and just stick it to him. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know. You know, the only feeling that I have on it is just pure disappointment. The fact that the New York Jets have to go against Rex Ryan twice a year in their division. That's really all I have to say about that.
Yeah, and I just want to make two points, Brandon, before I get to that, before we stop with the Jets talk. But I have to say, for the second week, you know, that I do love the intro. You know, coming back from that break, it was definitely a great intro, and we actually got some positive feedback on Twitter and on JetNation.com for the intro. So you know, hats off to you on the intro. And the thing with Glenn before he asked, you know. He or you asked, you know, is there a third candidate? And I know that you heard that Sean McDermott from the Panthers defensive coordinator is interviewing on Wednesday. So I think that he has a possibility of being coach if, you know, the Jets are getting very serious with Quinn and Bowles. Bringing him in obviously shows that they're decently serious about him. And obviously he would be a good option because he's had a top 10 defense in the last 3 years in Carolina. But to get to your point about Rex Ryan, you know, obviously it's not the best situation. Yeah, San Fran with their defense that they have, and they have a quarterback and some offensive weapons in place, that would have been a better option. Obviously Atlanta would have been a better option, but in the end, Brandon, money talks. He got a big contract. Like you said, he's very competitive, and he would like it to stick it to the Jets and the Patriots multiple times a year. And now he has the opportunity, and it really seems like we're just surrounded by former Jets. You know, we have Tannenbaum in Miami, we have Regis with the Patriots. Now we have Rex in Buffalo. So those will definitely be two very interesting games when we play Buffalo. And I know Rex is going to give it his all and guarantee the number one defense. But you know, he goes from a situation with a bad quarterback to a worse quarterback with EJ Manuel. Obviously, Kyle Orton's gone. They don't have a first round draft pick. It's hard to improve a defense.
What happens when they sign Mark Sanchez as their starting quarterback in the offense? And they're going to sign Darrelle Revis too. You heard it here first. Sitting here on the 13th of January at 8:53 p.m., the Buffalo Bills will throw big contracts at Mark Sanchez, Darrelle Revis, and Rex Ryan, and the Buffalo Jets are going to be in full action.
Yeah.
At
least Rex wouldn't have to look like an idiot with his tattoo of Mark Sanchez or his wife wearing Mark Sanchez's jersey. So
he just
would
have to get it colored in blue.
Yeah, exactly. Colored in blue or white, whatever is easier for him. Even though I heard white is a little difficult to manage. But you know, he, like I said, it's hard to improve a number two defense to a number one defense. So I really feel like if he went to Atlanta, he'd had a much bigger impact there. You know, improving a terrible defense to a solid defense instead of going to a great defense and trying to make it a little bit better. In my opinion, I really thought he should have went to CBS. You know, maybe waited it out for a year. You know, and told a team like San Fran or Falcons or, you know, whatever job opens up next year, you know, maybe he could have took one of those jobs. So I think he made a poor decision. But like I said, money talks. And, you know,
well, guess what? It's a head coaching job in the National Football League. The Buffalo Bills went after him. They offered him a head coaching job in the NFL. San Francisco, look, you know, apparently Rex Ryan's team called the Falcons and they called the San Francisco 49er camps and said, do you have any interest in setting up, you know, second interviews with my candidate? They never got back to him. So he said, you know what, if they don't want me and they're going to try and play hardball with me, I'm going to go to the guy that wants me. So I don't see this being a poor decision at all. I see Rex Ryan taking on a challenge. I see him going to a team that wants him. I see him getting a big contract. I mean, he's going to go from being 4-12 to being a head coach in the National Football League, you know, from one job to the next. So I don't think this is a poor decision. I just think that he went to the team that and the organization that showed that they wanted him the most, and that's what Rex Ryan wants to do. And he got big money in doing it. So I don't blame him whatsoever. I think he has a great opportunity. He's going to a defense that's loaded with talent. Who knows? When Mark Sanchez signs there, he's going to have the Sanchez back as his quarterback, and then he's going to have Darrelle Revis in the secondary, and we're going to lose by 30 points to the Bills twice a year. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be an exciting
game. If Morgan Sanchez comes
we're gonna do
into
nothing. We're gonna do the same thing we did to the Bills this year. Who knows? Maybe they might have the game in Tallahassee.
You are a negative Nancy, huh? Negative Nancy.
Not a negative Nancy. I'm just disappointed, man. It's so disappointing. It's something that you just watch on TV and you're just gonna go, that just doesn't look right. It's just when you're watching, it's almost like, it would be like almost like Derek. I don't even want to make comparisons because it's horrible. Rex Ryan doesn't belong in a Buffalo Bills vest. It just looks stupid. But let's move on here to our Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. And Joe, I cannot believe I was so close to the Baltimore Ravens pulling the upset on Saturday. I had it. Saturday, I was rooting like the Jets were on. The Ravens were playing the Patriots. I was so ready for my upset to come through, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, and they blew a 14-point lead twice. Unbelievable. But in our playoff records, you know, when the records count in the Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. What are the standings at right now?
Right now, I went 3-1 last week. You went 2-2. You were 6-2, and I am 5-3. And I was really scared watching that Patriots game. You know, that is literally the first time I've ever rooted for the Patriots, because even when they played the Giants twice in the Super Bowl, I was rooting for the Giants. You know, I never thought I'd be banging on a table and screaming at a TV for the Patriots to win, but that was definitely, in my opinion, the best game of the entire weekend. So that was very interesting. It was a very interesting week. You obviously have Peyton Manning, who disappointed both of us. We both picked them. He's the first quarterback to go 9-1 and done in the playoffs, which is
I'm not even gonna talk about that, because how about Peyton Manning, the fact that he's been playing since the Chargers win with a torn right quad that was going through
his entire play.
I mean, that's insane.
I think that could really, you know, be the Broncos trying to cover up a little bit for him, because it showed exactly how to beat Peyton Manning. The Seahawks did it, and then the Colts did it. All you got to do, it seems like, is play deep, play, you know, the short routes and the intermediate routes, and you got to dare him to throw it deep. He was throwing it deep a lot versus the Colts, but he couldn't
hit.
He was very inaccurate.
He didn't look healthy at all.
Isn't it sad that he might be gone? He might be done.
Dez Bryant
was interesting.
With Adam Gase. Oh my God. What did you think on that?
The Dez Bryant thing, I was just going to ask you about that. I think the rule is crap. I think that it should be changed, but by the rule book and by how it's written, it was not a catch. So I don't think he deserved to get the catch there.
I disagree, because the rule states, and this rule is so stupid, the rule states that you have to make a move relevant to football, like running with the ball, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't know. We can use stupid lingo like that. Dez Bryant makes the catch, takes three steps, and then, in my opinion, he dives and reaches out for the goal line. And if he's reaching out and diving for the goal line, that's a football move. So once that ball hits the ground after he dives for the goal line, it should have been a fumble that he obviously then just regained and recovered. Because if you look at the Calvin Johnson play, it was all one motion. He never took any steps. He caught the ball, came down, and put the ball on the ground. There was never any type of play where he was running with the ball or caught it in stride and then took three steps and then dove for the goal line. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was a terrible call. I mean, nothing to say that it cost Dallas the game, because Aaron Rodgers looked like he would have came down the field with ease and scored a touchdown to win. But you can't sit here and tell me that he didn't go and try and reach out for that goal line, which is a football move. The ground didn't help him control the ball, or he didn't lose control on the ground. He fumbled the ball going to dive for the end zone.
Yeah, but during in the middle of his first and second steps, it kind of looked like he bobbled the ball a little bit, and it was kind of inconclusive. Yeah, it looked like he dived, but it could have been that he was just kind of, you know, lessening
right,
the fall.
If you don't get it.
Know,
if you don't know, you can't make that call on the field if it's inconclusive like that. They've been preaching this year, and that's why the challenges that are being overturned are so the ratio is so low, and they're just sticking with the calls on the field. If it's inconclusive, and you have, you know, if you're swaying one way or the other, and it's not definitive, you can't change a call like that. You can't go you can't review that play. So I thought that was ridiculous.
All I have to say is karma, you know, because the way they got there versus the Lions with those penalties and stuff, they deserve to lose the game. So they shouldn't have been there anyway. I was happy that they lost. I really felt like it was supposed to be the Lions who were meant to be there, because that last drive with the Lions and Cowboys game was complete crap with some of those holding calls with defensive pass interference. So I was honestly happy that the Cowboys lost. So they deserved it. Karma,
right,
karma hurts,
you know. Let's dive into our picks here. First game, Patriots host the Colts. Listen, I definitely was, you know, a firm believer in the Denver Broncos until, obviously, you know, Peyton Manning, it just didn't look right. They looked like a lost team on offense. He looked injured. When they came out and said about the quad, it just made me think, wow, you know, the fact that Peyton Manning was even playing like that just shows you what type of player that he is. So the Colts go in there flying high. They have the momentum. New England, obviously, with the big win, you know, they skid by at home against the six-seeded Ravens. I just don't, you know, it really pains me to say this, and I hope the football gods are on the Colts' side for this game. But I just don't see the Indianapolis Colts matching up too well with the New England Patriots. I think the Colts, you know, even if the Denver Broncos would have skated by and won that game, I think Denver would have been a better matchup for New England anyway. Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, or even with the quad like that. I think that this is a tough matchup for the Colts, so I'm going to take the Patriots at home.
Yeah, thank God the Patriots won, because, you know, Brandon, if they didn't win that game, I would have had to pick, you know, different than you in both of these games there. So thank God they won. I'm really, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm thankful for Tom Brady and some of the plays he made.
Move on.
With the Broncos thing, you know, they bring in DeMarcus Ware, they bring in T.J. Ward, Tlaib, and they got manhandled versus the Colts. But, you know, I don't think the Colts are a great matchup against the Patriots. There's actually a stat out there. I'm not sure if it was two or three games, but Luck has played Tom Brady two or three times, and he's never came within three touchdowns of beating Tom Brady. So I really think that the Patriots are going to take this at home. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, to be completely honest, like, I'm not rooting for the Patriots, but I think that the Colts versus the Packers or the Seahawks in the Super Bowl would really be a blowout. So I'm actually rooting for the Patriots this game just to see a good Super Bowl.
What?
So I'm definitely going to take the Patriots.
You're done. Cutting you off. You're like, next you're going to see, that just disgusts me almost as much as Rex Ryan going to Buffalo. You're not allowed to say, as a Jet fan, I hope the Patriots go to the Super Bowl. That is against Jet fan.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want to see him to go to the Super Bowl and have a good game, and then they get blown out? But what if they get blown out?
No. You want to see Tom Brady hoist up a fourth Super Bowl championship and go down as the greatest quarterback in the history of the game?
But even if he loses this game, he might go down there already. So,
stop it. We're moving on.
I'm being truthful, Brandon.
I'm definitely going to have some words with you after we get off this show. The Seahawks host the Green Bay Packers. Does Aaron Rodgers have enough in him to take on the defending champs in against the 12th man in Seattle? Who do you like in this one and why, Joe? I'm letting you pick first.
Oh, God. I'm going to go with the Seahawks just for the reason that they really look pretty good. Their defense has been excellent in the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks. So I'm going to take the Seahawks in this one. The Packers really were looking like they were struggling against the Cowboys, who their defense isn't even as close to as good of a defense as those Seahawks. And Aaron Rodgers, to me, really looked gimpy. You saw a couple of replays where he was putting his hands up after a touchdown, you know, limping down the field. And I still think that he's hurt. And even today he said he's worse off right now than when he started the game on Sunday. So I just think that a hobbled Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be able to go into Seattle and beat Seattle when historically or in the last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers has really, really struggled against Seattle in their defense. So I'm going to take the Seahawks in this one.
I really want to pick Green Bay in this football game. I do. I think that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. I think he's ready to get back to the Super Bowl and get another Super Bowl win under his belt. But I just think that it's still the Seahawks' time one more time to actually bring home a Super Bowl championship. I think that they are, you know, they look dominant on defense again. I think their offense is starting to click. Marshawn Lynch looked like the beast mode running back that he is. I think that they're going to be too much to handle. And if Aaron Rodgers was at 100%, I would go ahead and pick the Packers in this game. Issue is that he's not. He would have had to been at 110% for them to win this football game. A 75% Aaron Rodgers going against the Seahawks in Seattle is just not going to be enough. I'm going to take the Seahawks. Reminder for everybody out there that the sports talk does not stop on Jet Nation Radio. Head on over to JetNation.com. The forums are exploding. What do you think about McCagnan? What do you think about Todd Bowles being the next head coach? Who do you want to see running the New York Jets sidelines next year? Who do you want to see as the quarterback? Sound off about the playoffs. Who do you think's going to the Super Bowl? I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. I want to thank Glenn for his great call from JetNation.com, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.